Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Biohacker Body Podcast, where we dive into the science of longevity, wellness, and the future of health optimization. I'm your host, Jenny Jones, and today we're joined by Panos, the co-founder of Panoe, the company that made VO2 Max and metabolic testing accessible to everyone. In this episode, Panos explains how breath analysis goes far beyond VO2 max and reveals 23 critical biomarkers that can tell us about our heart, lungs, metabolism, and overall longevity. We cover so many amazing topics. We explore how breath testing provides real-time guidance for optimizing your workouts, diet, and long-term health. Before we dive in, if you are enjoying the podcast or love this episode, the best way to support the show is to share it with someone who would benefit. Hit that subscribe button or leave a quick review. You can also keep these conversations going by checking out the sponsors linked in the show notes and using my special discount codes. Every bit of support makes a big difference in bringing you more top experts in health, wellness, and longevity. For cutting-edge insights, optimizing your body and mind, make sure to subscribe to my newsletter at biohackerbondi.com. So now let's dive into this amazing episode with Panos. Okay, so welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I'm really excited for this episode because we are here with Panos, and you are the co-founder of Panoe, this amazing device that checks your VO2 max and metabolic health, all the things. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We're going to get all into it. And if you can just give a little intro and explain what VO2 max is.
Sure. Yeah. Jenny, thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here. So Panoe basically made VO2 max testing easy and practical for the average clinic. VO2 max is one of the biomarkers that this test that you do when you're wearing a mask is putting out. However, it's not just VO2 max that you actually measure when you're doing the test. The clinical terminology for the test is cardiopulmonary exercise testing. And it's basically an assessment during which you're analyzing how much oxygen your body's consuming and how much CO2 it's producing. Mm. And so from that process, you're analyzing 23 biomarkers, and one of them is VO2 max. Mm. So because it's one of the most famous and important ones, we sort of gave VO2 max, we gave the name of the biomarker to the assessment, but the reality is that the assessment has a lot more to offer besides VO2 max. So when you're thinking about oxygen consumption and carbon dioxide production, and you think about the systems that participate in that process, you have the lungs, you have the heart, you have blood circulation, and you have the cells, right? And that is what we like to call the oxygen chain, this trifecta of systems that is pushing oxygen and clearing carbon dioxide. And the combined operation of these systems is what we refer to as metabolism, because it's the use of oxygen, right, to break down nutrients like fats and carbohydrates, release the energy they contain. We need that to stay alive and move and, you know, power our bodies. And then that oxidation is going to yield CO2 that has to be cleared from the blood and expelled to the atmosphere through exhalation, right? And so our bodies developed this trifecta, this oxygen chain of oxygen absorption in the lungs, the heart and blood circulation, which is the pumping mechanism, and then the mitochondria and the cells to actually use that oxygen in order to support what we refer to as aerobic metabolism. Mm. And so the test is actually the only assessment that can look into how efficiently these systems are operating individually, but also in unison. And VO2max can be thought of as the umbrella metric, the umbrella KPI of this entire chain. But in addition to VO2max, as I said, the test is going to spit out a lot more biomarkers. And these biomarkers can be used in order to start evaluating each one of these systems individually. So when you're doing the test, there are some biomarkers that are specific to your lungs and your respiration. For instance, we're checking for breathing rate and then breathing rate variability and then tidal volume, which is how much air you're pushing out per breathing cycle. That can tell you information about how much of your lungs you're using. We're looking to things like ventilation efficiency that looks into how much CO2 your lungs are discharging per breathing cycle. That can indicate if you have some sort of internal lung inflammation. And then there's obviously metrics related specifically to your cells. We analyze your metabolic rate, how many calories your body's burning, which is a very strong indicator of hormonal health, right? Because if you start to have issues with your leptin and ghrelin, or you have issues with, you know, any sort of hormonal issue can have a profound impact on your metabolic rate. For instance, men with low testosterone will very likely have a lower metabolism. Another thing that we do look, we do measure directly is how many fats and carbohydrates your body's burning, which is also a very powerful indicator of mitochondrial function. I know that's a very long response to why VO2max is important, but you need to understand that VO2max is literally the tip of the iceberg of an entire ecosystem of biomarkers that are generated from what, from the test that we refer to as cardiopulmonary exercise testing.
Yeah.
You know, we use the term VO2max a lot because that's what consumers and people have in mind. But whenever we're being asked, you know, this question, we think that it's a disservice to this entire test to just focus on VO2max. VO2max is the umbrella KPI of all of these different biomarkers and systems you're analyzing.
I think that's why I was so like astonished when I saw you perform the test, because I was just thinking it was VO2max, a typical just checking your oxygen levels, checking. A lot of athletes use this. And I don't think people understand all the all the biomarkers you get from this device. So that's why it's just like I think when people see this, they just think it's just checking some oxygen or something.
Checking some oxygen. Like a lot of people tend to associate it with SpO2, so oxygen saturation. Very, very different. VO2max is actual volume of oxygen being used by your body. Oxygen saturation is how much oxygen you have circulating in the blood. Nothing to do with oxygen consumption.
If you're spending money on your skincare routine, serums, moisturizers, facials, but if you're still washing your face with tap water, you might be undoing it all. Tap water can be filled with chlorine, heavy metals, and impurities that strip your skin's natural microbiome, leading to breakouts, dryness, and dullness. But what if I told you I had the answer? It's called Filter Baby, and it's a total game changer. You just screw it on to your bathroom faucet, super easy, and thousands of people, including me, are already seeing the difference in their skin. I used to get random breakouts for no reason, but since using Filter Baby, I have clear, calm, and healthy skin. If you deal with
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Acne, sensitive skin, or just want your glow back? Filter Baby is a no-brainer. Click the link in the show notes or head to the shop tab on my website, and don't forget to use the code BIOHACKERBONDY for a special discount. Your skin will thank you.
Yeah.
But,
you know, for my Oura Ring or some of these other devices, are they very accurate about, like, it will say, like, 98% oxygen?
Yeah, they're fairly accurate, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, as, you know, like, information, it doesn't really provide, you know, much value in the sense that, yeah, it's important to track it in clinical settings, in ICU units, if people are going into respiratory distress or something. Obviously, you need to measure SpO2, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like a biomarker that can provide as much information as VO2max. And obviously, it doesn't come anywhere close the value that you're getting when you're measuring 23 biomarkers from a cardiopulmonary exercise test. Now, because VO2max is this umbrella biomarker that reflects the health of the entire oxygen chain, your heart, your lungs, and your cells, it carries in it a lot of information about your overall health, right? Because if you think about it, all of the things that are likely to kill you or significantly reduce your quality of life are actually stemming from the systems that VO2max represents. You will either die from a heart disease or get debilitated from some sort of pulmonary disease or some sort of metabolic disease, right?
Yeah.
And it's not a coincidence that in every single one of these cases, whenever there's like a, you know, whenever the there's a disease that arises, that is reflected in some sort of disruption of oxygen delivery or oxygen transfer in the respective system.
Wow.
Cells that are not working as efficiently will consume less oxygen. And that is typically because there's some sort of mitochondrial dysfunction in them occurring. A heart that is problematic, that is, you know, suffers from some sort of ischemia, is going to be less able to deliver oxygen-rich blood across the body.
Like if someone has plaque in their arteries,
yeah,
you actually can see that through
cardiopulmonary excess testing is now widely used and has been widely used in Europe for decades as perhaps a frontline assessment for ischemic heart disease, both coronary artery disease and also microvascular ischemic heart disease. And a lot of top-tier clinics in the country like Mayo and Cleveland Clinic also use extensively cardiopulmonary excess testing specifically for identifying cases of ischemic heart disease. And
which biomarker then would I see that? Like if I had some
that
heart,
would be O2 pulse.
O2, okay.
So O2 pulse is VO2 over heart rate, and specifically looking at the trend of VO2 as it increases relatively to your heart rate as exercise intensity increases. So if you see a significant depression of your O2 pulse as exercise intensity increases, then that is a very strong indicator that you may have some sort of plaque buildup that is causing the heart to operate less effectively after a certain point of exercise intensity. And if you think about it, like the biomarker makes a lot of sense. You have VO2 in the numerator, you have HR in the denominator, heart rate in the denominator. So that means that whenever there is some sort of like ischemia going on, that's going to cause the heart to beat more rapidly because it can pump out less oxygen per cycle. And as a result, VO2 delivered over heart rate is going to go down. And that's why if you look at the O2 pulse of people that have some sort of ischemia, goes like this and then starts to drop because the efficiency of your heart cycle goes down.
What is ischemia for everyone who's listening?
Oh, ischemia. Yeah, sorry. being Greek, right? And, you know, assuming that everybody speaks Greek. Ischemia basically comes from the Greek word ischemia, which means lack of oxygen delivery, lack of blood. Okay. And basically it's when there's like plaque buildup in the heart, basically the heart as a muscle is getting less oxygen. And that is what causes, you know, ischemic heart disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is definitely something.
The global killer, number one killer.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's number and one. Most killer. People yeah. don't think about this, and it yeah. just can come out of nowhere.
Oh yeah, it can come out of nowhere.
So that's
yeah.
why yeah. everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get into your 40s, 50s, and yep. probably even younger now because mm-hmm. a lot of people are dealing with health issues at a younger age.
100%. And, you know, overconsumption of animal protein is very big, you know, factor in, you know, plaque buildup.
You think the fat? I know sugar, too. Like, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot
processed
of.
Processed sugar.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of opinions around that. But I think definitely, you know.
Overconsumption. We've had the conversation.
Yeah. We had the conversation. Yeah.
The whole debate yeah. of carnivore.
Yeah. 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 I think meat. You know, there's undeniable evidence that consuming too much animal protein can be detrimental for your cardiovascular system.
Yeah.
And, you know, the mechanism is, you know, very much plaque buildup. So, very important to be tracking LPA levels, ApoA, ApoB.
Biomarkers.
These are the super important biomarkers for your heart health. But these are not functional biomarkers in the sense that they're going to tell you if there is like plaque buildup, but they're not going to tell you if the plaque is there. And they're going to they're not going to tell you if the plaque is starting to affect your
other parts of the body. No,
they're not going to tell you if the plaque is starting to affect your heart.
Ah, that's true.
And so the beauty of breath analysis is that it's a purely functional assessment. It directly measures how efficiently lungs, heart, and cells are working, because the fundamental operation of these systems is for lungs to absorb oxygen, for heart to pump it, and for cells to use it.
Yeah.
And that's what you're actually measuring through breath analysis.
I'm curious too, when did you build this device?
So we started doing some basic R&D. So the idea started from my co-founder, Apostolos. We've known each other for many years, since the age of 6. We're childhood friends. And he was doing his PhD in Cambridge. That's Cambridge, UK. He was doing his PhD in sensing technologies. And he was the one who ran into the world of breath analysis initially. Mm. At the time, I was working in Silicon Valley. I was working specifically enterprise data centers, like vastly different space. He ran into breath analysis, thought it was like fascinating. There's so much information you can derive from breath analysis, and you know, people weren't doing it, right? We set out to address the first issue of why people weren't doing it, which was the fact that devices were clunky, big, difficult to operate, and we built Pinoy, which is still the world's first and only cardiopulmonary exercise testing device, first and only, that's clinical grade in terms of precision, and small, portable, and practical to use. Like, if you want to get any other device that gives you the same biomarkers and the same accuracy, you're going to buy a device that's like $60,000 and looks like a fridge.
Wow.
So obviously these devices have existed for decades, and we didn't come up with any of the fundamental science. We just made the device a lot simpler and cheaper and practical, right?
Mm.
But the underlying measurement, like the output of the biomarkers and the accuracy and the way we analyze the biomarkers, that is 100% clinical standard and based on very widely accepted standards and procedures of analyzing the data.
So I never thought I'd include whey protein in my diet until I found Kona Nutrition. Now I get it, why it's everyone's go-to for building muscle, because it actually works. I had the pleasure of interviewing the founder, and we talked all about whey versus beef isolate and why whey is more effective when it comes to building muscle. But Kona Nutrition is more than just protein powder. Their whole mission is health first. Their whey comes from cows that have 2 acres to roam. It's grass-fed, RBST-free, no soy, no GMOs, no antibiotics. It's minimally processed with the lowest heat possible, which makes it way easier on the digestive system. And it's third-party tested. Seriously, it's the cleanest whey protein I've ever tried. I add it to my frothed milk, my cookies, my psyllium husk breakfast, and it's the perfect way to start your day with protein to help balance blood glucose and stay full longer. You can find the link in the show notes for a special discount, or you can use my code BIOHACKERBLONDIE at checkout.
So I'm curious too. So what year did you develop this?
So we started doing R&D 2017, and then 2019 was our first commercial year.
Okay.
2020 COVID was a very big disruption for us. You can imagine we're less than 12 months in our, you know, commercial launch, right? And we had a respiratory global pandemic hitting the world, right?
Wow.
So imagine, you know, how it would be selling a device, a mask that straps on your face, and selling that to brick and mortar health facilities during in the COVID. Midst of a respiratory pandemic, you know.
I mean, were they using this maybe in hospitals? There was a big slump
in sales, obviously, but, you know, all that's why I always like to say just keep your company as lean as possible, because you never know what happens. But we, you know, we went through it, we toughed it out. And the good thing with COVID is that, you know, I think it highlighted the need for brick and mortar health and wellness. And that's why brick and mortar health and wellness
and
came back, you know, roaring after COVID, and it's on the up and up and continues to grow, which is great for us. But yeah, it was definitely a very tough time for us.
Have you seen a lot of people dealing with post-COVID with the device, like dealing with lung issues?
A ton. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't, I've received that question before. Unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of data pre-COVID, because like mid-2019 is when we started Cell, right? Mm. And so I wish we had like a lot of, you know, a few tens of thousands of tests pre-COVID before. And then post-COVID. Right now, there's like hundreds of thousands of tests we've done. Like, we're going to get to a million soon. But I wish we had more pre-COVID so that we can actually show people this insane impact that, you know,
COVID had on people's
respiratory health has sustained on a longitudinal level. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think people really became aware of how important oxygen is.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. but, you know, obviously, like KOLs, luminaries like Andrew Huberman and Peter Attia, and a lot of people have been, you know,
promoting
and, you know, advertising and, you know, talking about the importance of VO2max testing as a clinical biomarker. So a lot of people are harping about VO2max these days, which is good. And obviously, you know, that's not news for the medical or clinical establishment. I think the American Heart Association put out back in 2016 a scientific statement that pretty much openly says that ideally every person should be doing this assessment once a year. Because, you know, it's the number one predictor of how long and well you're going to live.
And I don't think a lot of people think about this, but when into this space, it's at so many functional medicine clinics, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. everyone's using this in the longevity space. Mm-hmm. Athletes are using this. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're still kind of early, even in that space, I think. You know, there's certainly a lot more adoption there compared to more traditional healthcare setups. I think you're obviously way more likely to run into a VO2max testing offering if you go into a longevity clinic versus going to your average primary care doctor, begs the question, why are they even like worth their money that we're paying them? But anyways, that's a separate discussion. still, you know, there's a lot more room for growth it comes to even the longevity and preventative and integrative health space.
If you're not testing over 100 biomarkers annually, you're likely missing one of the biggest factors affecting your health deficiencies. And here's the thing, when just one vitamin or mineral is off, it can throw your entire system out of balance. We're talking brain fog, fatigue, sluggish metabolism, poor sleep, immune dysfunction, and worse, it can even contribute to chronic disease down the line. That's where Function Health comes in. They make it easy to finally get the full picture. Function tests over 100 key biomarkers, from hormones to inflammation, nutrients, liver, kidney, thyroid, and more. Then you retest in 6 months to track your progress and optimize from there. And the best part, they partnered with thousands of labs across the U.S., including Quest Diagnostics, so you can likely find a blood draw location just a few blocks from you. It's seamless, it's science-backed, and honestly, it's the best pricing you'll find for this kind of comprehensive testing. Let's be real, your doctor isn't ordering these panels for your yearly checkup, but they should be. So stop guessing and start testing. Click the link in the show notes or head to my website under the shop tab to sign up for Function Health and access your over 100 biomarkers today. This will truly be one of the best investments you can make in your health.
Have you changed your results since you were testing yourself on this device as you're developing this? Mm-hmm. And have you increased every biomarker? And what do you think has been the most impactful for increasing your biomarkers?
So great question. Yes, I test myself regularly and I fluctuate between mid 50s to high 60s to low 60s in my VO2 max. So 55 to 62 is like sort of my range.
Okay. That's optimal.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's also age adjusted. So I'm 34. So for my age, I mean, I'm striving to be in the top 5%. Also, the right way to think about that is that your VO2 max is going to go down over time. So you need to be at a very good level when you're young in order to land at a good level when you're older. Older. Yeah.
You can't just keep it at that same level.
And for, I mean, so much is happening in the longevity space right now with the technological means and the drugs and all the procedures we have at our availability now, you can't, but who knows if we develop some sort of crazy anti-aging drug that's going to, you know, significantly affect that. We're actually in touch with a pharmaceutical company that is developing specifically anti-aging drugs. And they've done some preliminary VO2max assessments with their compound on middle-aged people between 55 and 60 years old. And I think after they received that compound, their VO2max went up by 15 to 17%.
Oh, wow.
And we're actually discussing a much larger clinical trial with them.
Wow.
That's actually going to be a huge thing for VO2max testing down the road. There's a lot of pharmaceutical companies developing anti-aging drugs. And, you know, as a company, we're trying to support the space as much as possible. Obviously, we're sponsors of the A4LI. That's a government caucus in Washington. That's basically the first lobbying mechanism for anti-aging and longevity in Washington. It's called Alliances for Longevity Initiatives.
Wow.
And, you know, we're, you know, part of the mission of that organization is to establish aging as a disease. Because when you do that and you create the necessary regulatory framework for this, you start to have all these different government bodies approach aging from a very different perspective. And you unlock a lot of things like regulatory guardrails, funding from NIH, potential pathway for clearance by the FDA when it comes to certain procedures and drugs, which means that it becomes a lucrative market for pharmaceuticals. So you start this flywheel, right, which is necessary if you want to bring anti-aging into the mainstream concept of the medical industry. And so I think there's going to be a ton of anti-aging research happening down the road. And the beauty of VO2max is that it's the objective, I mean, to this date, it's the best and most objective biomarker we have when it comes to quantifying your actual aging.
Wow. So yeah. The biological age is pretty
the
accurate.
Best biological age you're going to get is still VO2max because, you know, we have measured it over decades and we've done longitudinal studies where we track, you know, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people over decades to see how their risk of mortality and morbidity changes, right, based on their VO2max. And still today, it's the best predictor of how long and well someone is going to live.
Wow. So do you know what's in these anti-aging drugs?
I wouldn't be able to say because with a lot of these potential customers, we're under NDA. And so, yeah. There's a lot of interesting research happening, that's all I can say.
Okay, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Do you think nitric oxide plays a role, like people's levels of nitric oxide also plays a role?
It definitely helps a lot with oxygen delivery, right? People tend to think as oxygen consumption as a isolated process, but it's really a conglomeration of processes. You have oxygen absorption by the lungs, you have the oxygen pumping, and then the circulation, right, which is, you know, moving oxygen-rich blood from the heart, from the lungs to the cells, is actually a very important part, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that we test for is whether or not someone is hyperventilating, which is, you know, breathing too much, or in clinical terminology, that is breathing against your metabolic requirements.
Are you looking for a convenient and effective way to experience the benefits of peptides without the need for injections? Look no further than Level Up Health, my go-to brand for meticulously stacked oral peptides designed for maximum benefit. Their offerings include powerful options like liver support, gut repair, and BPC-157, and they just launched their latest innovation, Neuro Regenerate, perfect for supporting brain health and cognitive function. Whether you're at home or traveling, these oral peptide stacks provide a hassle-free solution to boost your wellness journey. Ready to try them out? Head over to levelup.health.com, that is levelup.health.com, and use the code BIOHACKERBLONDIE, that is BIOHACKERBLONDIE, yes, just with an I, at checkout to receive 10% discount. The details and links will also be available in the show notes. Don't miss out this opportunity to elevate your health with Level Up Health's premium peptide stacks.
And so when someone is hyperventilating, what happens is that you blow off too much CO2.
Mm.
And when you do that, you lower your CO2 levels in the blood, and that makes the coupling of hemoglobin onto oxygen a lot more tight.
Mm.
And that means that your cells are now less able to extract the circulating oxygen from hemoglobin and bring it into the mitochondria to be used, right?
Wow.
And the reason why I'm talking about hyperventilation now is because it's a very powerful thing that can affect, affect the circulation component and delivery component, right? And so does nitric oxide, right? And so there's a lot of things that you can change in your blood chemistry in order to either improve or, you know, deteriorate your ability to deliver oxygen-rich blood to your cells. And, you know, going back to hyperventilation, it's actually, you know, a very common thing that we run into. A lot of people have deviated septums. A lot of people have, you know, some sort of nasal obstruction that is causing them to hyperventilate. And this chronic mild hyperventilation is a major risk factor for depriving your tissue, your active tissue, of oxygen. And a lot of studies have now shown that this chronic deprivation of oxygen, which is mild but chronic nonetheless, is one of the major risk factors for neurodegeneration.
Wow.
Yeah. Oxygen deprivation in the brain is going to lead to neuroinflammation and then ultimately neurodegeneration. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, very important to make sure, that you're breathing correctly. And breathing correctly actually means maintaining the right chemistry in your blood.
And I think when you say hyperventilation, people are not like, I'm hyperventilating right now. Like, it's, you're not talking about someone just taking deep breaths in 20, you know, like,
people oh, yeah, yeah.
would not know.
Yeah, hyperventilation is not just acute hyperventilation, which is something that, you know, can occur under like conditions of intense stress, right? It's not just that. It's mm-hmm. it's this too, but it's not just that. It's also this mild chronic hyperventilation, which is, mild chronic hyperventilation is actually a registered condition, mm. you know. It's just that very few people have been tested for that.
Yeah.
And I think the most common issue that we run into when we test people is something related to your respiration or your lungs. We differentiate between the two because respiration has to do with the mechanics of the breathing, right? How many breaths you're taking per minute, the variability of your breathing rate. That's one thing. And then the other thing is going to be how efficiently your lungs are working from the inside in terms of absorbing oxygen and clearing carbon dioxide. And yeah.
If someone has, I know too, like people can get mold in their lungs.
Yeah.
Do you see these issues or sleep apnea with your biomarkers?
Yeah, I think sleep apnea is perhaps one of the things that, you know, we're very sensitive to, like specifically one of our biomarkers called ventilation efficiency. Looking into VE over VCO2. VE is the total amount of air you're exchanging with the environment. VCO2 is the amount of CO2 you're discharging per breathing cycle. So this biomarker effectively looks into how much CO2 you're discharging per breathing cycle. And so if there is something inside the lungs, like mold or asthma or COPD or something that's causing this obstruction of O2 absorption and CO2 discharge, then that biomarker is going to be affected. Yeah.
Interesting. So do you see this a lot with, like, how do you see, I'm sure, a ton of testing. What do most people have some type of sleep issue, lung issue?
If you haven't heard of peptides, they are all the rage right now, and for good reason. Peptides are short chains of amino acids that signal your body to heal, regenerate, and repair. They're helping so many people sleep better, recover faster, boost energy, reduce inflammation, and even improve skin, mood, and metabolism. There's truly a peptide for everything, but the key is getting them from a source you can trust. That's why I'm so excited to share Limitless Living MD, a company that uses only pharmaceutical-grade peptides from FDA-regulated compounding pharmacies. These are clinician-approved, third-party tested, and made to the highest medical standards. They even carry NAD, glutathione, and MYC injections, some of the most powerful tools for detox, cellular energy, and fat metabolism. If you are ready to get started on a path to heal, regenerate, and repair, click the link in the show notes or head over to my website under the shop tab. You can use code BIOHACKERBONDY for 10% off your order at checkout. This is your sign to biohack smarter with peptides that actually work. Again, that's Limitless Living MD and code BIOHACKERBONDY.
I wouldn't really call it like a sleep issue. Yes, there's a very strong comorbidity and correlation between people having respiratory issues and having sleep issues.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily say that most of the people we test or a big chunk have sleep issues. Specifically, I would say a lot of them have respiratory issues.
Okay.
And in some cases, these manifest also as sleeping issues.
Yeah. And with, say, like asthma or allergies, which I feel like It's on the rise.
It's a big thing. Yeah, yeah.
And you'll see that. Yeah.
And you can also see like people that are on some sort of treatment that is having a positive impact on their allergies that is reflected, you know, almost immediately in their respiratory metrics. And they also feel it, like they breathe better, they feel better, they have better energy levels. And that is, you know, very much reflected on the respiratory biomarkers.
And I have one other question before some others, but if I to lose weight, they say you breathe out fat.
Yeah.
So, question for you: if I just keep like breathe nonstop, like in and out, am I losing weight?
No, because what you're doing actually, you're being counterproductive actually when it comes to your fat loss.
Okay.
And the reason why that is because if you try to overbreathe, you're hyperventilating. Hyperventilation is going to, as we said, reduce the amount of CO2 circulating in the blood. Less CO2 in the blood is going to mean vasoconstriction, that is narrowing of the arteries, and also means intensifying the Bohr effect. The Bohr effect is what I referenced earlier, which is the how tightly hemoglobin is connected onto oxygen molecules, which means that when Bohr effect kicks in with lower CO2, cells are less able to extract the circulating oxygen and bring it into their membrane where mitochondria can use it. And the problem here is that fat is a molecule that always requires oxygen to be burned. And so less oxygen delivery ultimately to the cells means less fat oxidation.
Okay.
So bad breathing, whether it's done intentionally or subconsciously, like chronic mild hyperventilation, ultimately leads to less fat oxidation throughout the day. So breathe better. That's going to help you be a better fat burner.
Okay, so my theory was not correct.
No. Yeah.
I told this to a few people and I was like, maybe we can just all lose weight if we just like breathe in and out really quickly.
No, I mean, yeah. Goes back to the very basic things, you know, exercise well, eat well, breathe well. So, yeah.
So what do you suggest is the best way to breathe, especially during workout? So for me too, like when I'm working out, I kind of like to do some breath work while I'm working out. What do you suggest then? Should we not focus on breathing? They say take a deep breath in or different parts of like jogging.
Well, we need to distinguish regular breathing with breath work. Breath work is intentional manipulation of our breathing in order to achieve some sort of biological impact or adaptation. And that is very much desirable. And in certain cases, you may need to go into hyperventilation during that intentional brief manipulation of the way you breathe, right? Tummo breathing, which is the Wim Hof breathing, takes you through a cycle of hyperventilation, and that's fine, right? Because this reduction of CO2 in the blood also has other stimulatory effects for the body, which can be positive, right? But just because you're supposed to do that, you know, a few minutes during the day doesn't mean that you need to be doing that all the time, right? And so what is the right breathing rate for someone? I don't know. You should get tested because, you know, it has to do with maintaining the right blood biochemistry, which is reflected in the oxygen and CO2 levels that you track when you're doing the test.
So, and it's different because you guys have a resting metabolic test, and then you have the exercise,
the VO2 max. Yeah.
So, can you explain the difference too for people listening? Because sure, I don't think they even know that there's two different tests.
There's two types of tests. You're measuring the same biomarkers, 23 biomarkers. In resting and exercise, right? But the fact that you're testing them in different conditions is revealing additional information about your biology. For instance, you're measuring your metabolic rate at rest, which is giving you your resting metabolic rate, which is important to know if you want to structure a diet plan. And then there are, you know, certain things that you measure at rest that are representative of certain things in your biology versus you measure other things during exercise that are representative of other things in your biology. So if you want to get the full profile, obviously you need to do both tests. It's not really a big deal. Like every test is like 10 minutes. It's not like, you know, it's going to take forever to do both. But some people typically start with a resting test because it's just easier. You know, they sometimes feel they need to double click in some of the metrics and some of the areas that we assess. For instance, we may see that someone has an issue with their lungs and, you know, perhaps that may mean that it's a good idea for that person to also do the exercise test because the exercise test is going to reveal additional information for that system because you're putting the system under stress. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept with doing a resting EKG and then putting someone on a treadmill to do the exercise EKG. It's the same thing. You know, you're measuring the electrical signal of the heart. It's just that you're measuring it in resting and then under stress.
And for athletes out there, so you just keep trying to increase their stress or on a treadmill, for example, and they're just going to...
Yeah. The protocol is pretty straightforward. Something very important to note here is that you don't have to do this extremely intense all-out tests that people may have seen in, you know, athletic centers, right? Brian Obviously, Johnson. If you want to really bring a very fit person to their breaking point, that's going to look like a very intense test. But for the average person, getting a decent exercise test, cardiopulmonary exercise test, doesn't really require that much of a, you know, exercise, you know, effort.
Okay.
And so you can use a treadmill, you can use a stationary bicycle. And what you do is that you start with a warm-up phase of 3 minutes and then you increase the intensity every minute by a small increment until the person gets to, 70 to 80% of their exercise capacity. And that's how you do the test.
Okay. So you don't have to be like racing on the treadmill.
No. Yeah. In fact, the treadmill for older people or somewhat debilitated people is not a good idea.
Okay.
Probably use a stationary bicycle. You can get, you know, as good of a test there.
Okay. And then, so after you get all these biomarkers, then you give results.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting too, if you can go over like the zone training, and then also I saw on some results that you provide nutrition, more of like a diet, lifestyle, all the things. So, you know, when should someone be eating more carbs or eating more fat based off of these results?
Yeah. So as a company, we started by selling this device, right? But then over time, we saw that the plethora of information coming out of it is actually as much a curse as it is a blessing for the people using it, because they were like, okay, what do I actually do with all this information, right? And so what we ended up doing gradually is we started to add all of these ancillary services around the device, which are absolutely critical for any clinic or any health establishment or fitness establishment to effectively utilize a device. So just to, you know, give a, you know, high level overview, there's a test, the device, we analyze the data, which is quite cumbersome, and we've actually done a lot of work like automating the analysis. So we put together a very comprehensive report that looks into all the different physiological areas we discussed. So we do that for all of our affiliates. And then in addition to that, because the information contained in the test is truly prescriptive in the sense that it will inform how you need to exercise and how you need to train and how you need to eat, we actually develop nutrition and training programs on behalf of the affiliates, i.e. the health and fitness centers that use us. And, you know, we give them the plans and then they use them with our customers. So yeah, we do provide very comprehensive nutrition programs, very comprehensive training programs, utilizing the information coming out of the device. But now we opened up our platform. It's interoperable with other biomarkers. So you can import your blood data, your urine, stool, saliva, you name it. And we're going to now collectively analyze all of your health profile to put together a nutrition plan and a diet and a training plan, which, you know, takes a lot of work to do for any person who's in the business of prescribing holistic wellness and health plans for people. They can definitely relate to the amount of work that goes into building, you know, a plan that takes into account all of these different factors, right? Plus a very comprehensive patient intake questionnaire that we have. So yeah, we do that for our customers. So yeah.
So when would someone need, I also notice on the test you have when days working out, eat this many calories, and then it when days you're not and everything. So what distinguishes the difference for personalization of how you assess calories and the fat and carbs that someone should take in?
So the two things that we analyze from the test would be caloric consumption. So we know how many calories you're burning. So we can, and that takes all the guesswork away from determining your caloric intake, which is the biggest driver when it comes to your actual weight. A lot of people are not able to get to their weight goal because they have a lower metabolism, right? They're burning less calories than their estimations are providing them. And so that creates that big mismatch. Or based on how they're evolving, how their metabolism is evolving throughout their journey, they may start to burn more or less calories. And that is actually something they need to track in order for the caloric intake of the diet to be adjusted. That also is a very important thing to note for people on GLP-1s, because GLP-1s will have a deflationary impact on your metabolism. And so if you're on GLP-1s, you absolutely need to be testing your metabolism on the regular. So one thing we measure is caloric expenditure. The other thing we measure is fat and carbohydrate oxidation. So we actually measure how many grams of fat and carbohydrates, you're actually oxidizing.
Wow.
And that is, you know, fundamental information that we can use in order to prescribe the optimal macronutrient content of your food.
So and would someone be absorbing fat or digesting fat more than carbs, or digesting carbs better than fat? Can you see that in the test?
Yeah. I mean, that's literally the...
All in us.
No, that's basically the fundamental concept of metabolic flexibility, right? Metabolic flexibility is how efficiently your cells can respond to different types of macronutrients, right?
And so, what's impacting that? Would that be...
Oh, metabolic flexibility is like impacted by so many things related to your cells. It has to do with, you know, how insulin sensitive your cells are.
Mm.
It has to do with how trained and thick your mitochondria are. So metabolic, I'm sorry?
And how much muscle you
have. How much muscle you have, yeah. Yeah, okay. that's but also, you know, your hormonal profile, because your hormones can very much determine a lot of your metabolic processes. Like someone has a lot of cortisol, this person will inevitably be much, you know, heavier on the glucose burning side, right? Because hormones can significantly and profoundly affect the way you're metabolizing food, right? So
interesting.
It's you know, metabolic, but that's the beauty. Metabolic flexibility is the net impact, the net effect of all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what makes, again, breath analysis super interesting and important, that is that it ultimately measures the net effect in terms of operation for your heart, your lungs, and your cells.
Oh, that's why this test is just not measuring oxygen levels. Like, it tests so much more. Yeah. And I don't think people realize
and,
that.
And I'm glad, you know, at the end of this conversation, we're arriving to this conclusion. Yeah.
I also wanted to go over just the zone training, too. I think that was really interesting that you also recommend what type of training you should be doing.
Yeah, let's double click on the zones a little bit. So a lot of people may have heard of the concept of training zones. So basically, your training zones are different spectrums of exercise intensity, either reflected in terms of heart rate or power output. And basically what that means is that in different exercise intensity levels, either measured in heart rate or power output, your body is burning a different fuel mix. So we have five zones, zone 1 through 5. Zone 1 is not really considered a workout zone. Zone 2 is the first workout zone. And so depending on what zone you are, zone 2 through 5, your body's going to burn a different mix of fuel, basically different mix between fats and carbohydrates. And depending on that fuel mix you're burning, you're inflicting, you're providing your body with different biological adaptations.
Mm.
And so in zone 2, which is your fat burning zone, you're burning more fat. It's actually the part of your exercise intensity spectrum where you're burning the most amount of fat. And that is causing the highest level of mitochondrial biogenesis. So that's where you're actually training your mitochondria the most. That's why people who have mitochondrial dysfunction, they need to do a lot of zone 2 training. As a matter of fact, zone 2 training may be the most powerful thing you can do for your body when it comes to inducing mitochondrial biogenesis. and then zone 4 is going to be typically the zone where you train your lungs. Mm. And then zone 5 is going to be the zone where you typically train your heart. Like, I'm trying to make it as simple as possible, but people tend to understand that, you know, categorization that I just described: zone 2 for cells, zone 4 for lungs, zone 5 for the heart. Zone 3 is the dead zone in the sense that it's not really targeting anything specific, and you should actually avoid spending a lot of time in your zone 3 when you're training.
What is zone 3?
Zone 3 is typically your race pace for any event.
Okay.
That's how I like to call it. But It doesn't really have a strong functional characteristic in terms of being able to impact a biological system profoundly, you know, similar to the other zones. So, you know, as I said, zone two will impact cells, zone four, lungs, zone five, the heart. Obviously, that's not like switches, right? You know, it's not like, you know, deterministic and absolute in the sense that zone two is only going to train your cells, or zone four is only going to train your lungs. You can get like, you know, some positive VO2 max adaptations and improve your VO2 max through your zone two training, but you're going to get the biggest bang for the buck in your zone four and zone five when it comes to improving your VO2 max. And vice versa. Like, you're going to get a little bit of, you know, mitochondrial biogenesis when you're in your zone four and zone five, but you're not going to get as much when you are in your zone two.
And zone two, you said, is like light jogging.
Light jogging, yeah.
And where does Pilates fit in?
That is, okay, so we've been talking about cardio training.
Yeah.
Cardio training is divided into base training, which is zone two, and then interval training, which is spending different amounts of time in zone four and zone five. That whole category is different from resistance training.
Mm.
Which is there to improve other things in your body, like bone density, metabolic rate, bunch of other stuff, right? Nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So Pilates is, you know, something that can be beneficial from a resistance training perspective for like beginners, right? But then after a certain point, you inevitably have to hit the weight room because, you know, keep on building muscle, and the reformer can no longer serve the amount of intensity and workload that your muscles need in order to continue to improve. Pilates is great. Like, I love Pilates, to be honest with you. I occasionally do a few sessions, but it's more like on the stretching and mobility side, which is very important, but it's not, I would say, a substitute for resistance training.
So we should do both.
100%. 100%.
I think that's it. Like in the fitness industry too, is just building muscle, weights. But I do feel that if you do all different types of workouts, that's best for your overall health.
Oh yeah, obviously. Yeah, we have different systems that we need to serve, right? You know, resistance training is a very important part. And if someone was to ask me, I can only do one thing, I would most likely tell them hit the weight room.
Mm.
But then, you know, will that give you a well-rounded physique and physiology, and, you know, will that serve longevity the best? No. To your point, you need, you know, every type.
Yeah.
You need cardio, you need resistance, you need mobility, you need everything.
And this is why I always implement working out, because I feel like a lot of people want to skip this step too, and it's so important for your overall health.
Yeah.
And I think people just want to supplement or do these other things to counteract not working out, but it's so important for your heart, your lungs, your mitochondrial health. Yeah. Like, you can't really try and trick your body with a supplement compared to like a workout.
Absolutely.
There's just so many, the oxygen, everything that goes into it. Yeah. You know, I know like Dave Asprey is just like, oh, you don't really need to work out, but there's so much more. You can be skinny fat, you can be unhealthy, you can still, I guess, look okay on the outside, but 100%, like on the inside, things cannot be so well. Mm-hmm. So with all your biomarkers and everything, are you guys comparing any of these tests with lab tests, of like blood tests?
So we're measuring for completely different biomarkers. So it's not like VO2 max can be measured in any other way, or metabolic rate or fat oxidation can be measured in any other way for us to compare that with another form of assessment. What we do with our platform is we integrate information from other biomarkers and we do more, you know, collective analyses, right?
Okay.
And, you know, breath analysis is a great assessment, but it's not the end all be all assessment. If you want to test for heavy metals, if you want to test for nutrient deficiencies, if you want to, you know, test for other things like hormonal health, you need to do blood analysis. And if you want to be able to provide truly holistic approach and program to someone, you need the complete picture. And that's why we, you know, expanded our software and our offering to be able to support that. But there isn't really a case where you would need to compare. It's more just, like
if I'm, you know, okay, I have some heart issues, as an example, and then I find out, like, I do a clearly scan and find out I have plaque in my artery.
Yeah.
So it would be great to, like, have, you know, to show that this test also is understanding my lab test. Like, they can
both. Oh, yeah, yeah. The beauty with breath analysis, again, is that we've had it for nearly a century. Yeah. So there have been so many studies around pretty much anything you can think of. And that's good for us because we're not really carrying the burden of proof here, right? So a lot of the analyses we do, not a lot, all of the analysis we do, all the data processing, the insights we provide is 100% based on peer-reviewed evidence and, you know, standard of care. You know,
would you guys provide in your documentation of
everything? In the report, there's like a link to all of the,
yeah,
you know, peer-reviewed literature for the recommendations. And if people want to dive more, they can reach out. And we have a, you know, clinical literature ebook, which is, I don't know how many pages, where we summarize everything. Yeah.
If someone wants to go through.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, hundreds, if not in the thousands of, you know, peer-reviewed publications and stuff. Yeah.
So what is the future of Panoe? Where are you guys going now?
Oh, yeah. exciting question. Well, you know, listen, we have some big product announcements taking place later this year. Okay. Unfortunately, I can't really talk about it.
Okay.
But we have some big improvements being released soon. On the software side, you know, as I said earlier, we've expanded the set of features we support to integrate with all of your lab work, provide people the ability to build comprehensive nutrition and training programs, comprehensive patient monitoring. So our goal is to build the EHR for the modern integrative clinic. Right now on the software side, what we're seeing is that the average clinic is using so many different systems that do not talk to each other. They don't really support the needs of holistic and integrative medicine. And I think there's a big gap there, and that's the gap we're trying to fill with all of our software offering. But I think, you know, by leading both on the hardware and the software front, our intention is to really make breath analysis something that people do on the regular. We want to make that what the American Heart Association stated in 2016, like the first line screening tool for pretty much every person's annual physical, because there's nothing else that can give you so much information non-invasively in 10 minutes without any sort of lab work, and have it be so sensitive and specific for all of these critical systems in your body.
Literally 8 minutes,
yeah,
or 10 minutes. Yeah. It's so quick.
Yeah.
But I don't think people, I didn't even realize how easy it is.
And there's a lot of education and awareness that, you know, we as a company have to do, right? And so it's part of the job, right?
Yeah. So where can everyone go find a Panoe? And yeah.
So very soon we're launching our locator. We're going to have close to 500 select facilities in there for people to schedule Panoe tests. And also they'll have the ability to schedule appointments for other services that these clinics provide. Mm. So it's going to be a locator and a lead gen mechanism for our trusted affiliates, not just for the Panoe services, but for any other service they want to have available to the public. Until then, people can reach out to us. Our website is pnoe.com. That is pnoe.com. Pnoe also stands for breath in Greek.
Ah, okay.
Pnoe.
I should have known this.
Yeah, pnoe. pnoe.com. And then Pnoe Analytics is our Instagram. You can message us on Instagram. You can go on our website, fill out a form, or email us. We'll get back to you if you're a consumer who wants to get tested. Even if the locator is not live yet, we're just going to direct you to the closest one. If you're a clinic owner who is interested, then, you know, schedule some time and we can talk more.
And you guys are not just in the U.S. You guys are all over.
We sell globally. Our biggest market is the United States, but we have a significant presence in, you know, Southern Europe, also growing in the UAE. Brazil is pretty big and important for us as well. But still, I think the U.S. market is the most significant one, and we'll continue to do so.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was great.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah.
Hope everyone enjoyed that. And yeah, thank you for coming on.
VO2 Max and metabolic testing go far beyond athletic performance. They provide a window into your biological age, your resilience, and the efficiency of your most vital systems. Conversations like this with Panos, co-founder of Panoe, remind us why measuring and understanding these biomarkers is essential for anyone who wants to live longer, stronger, and healthier. If you found value in this episode, I invite you to subscribe to the Biohacker Blondie podcast, leave a review, and share it with a friend who's ready to elevate their health journey. Your support makes it possible to continue bringing on leaders in science, health, and longevity. To learn more about Panoe, visit panoe.com or follow them on Instagram at Panoe Analytics. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, the best investment you can make is in your own health and vitality. Until next time, keep biohacking with intention and living with purpose.